against Russia.
Hepatitis A after one inmate was diagnosed with the virus. Gone untreated, hepatitis can cause liver infection, but most people who are infected recover completely without permanent damage. Carter County jailer R.W. Boggs says no one else at the facility has shown symptoms of the virus.
You know, it's not all that easy to catch, so we've been told pretty much that, you know, we won't see any symptoms out of anybody, and at this point they'll all be vaccinated, would probably deter it anyway. There's a couple of employees that will be getting up for precautionary measures, but, you know, based on the parameters and what it takes to contract it, most likely not going to need it.
Around 60 inmates were given the vaccine today. Boggs says the infected inmate was at the facility for about 40 days.
Health officials are pushing for vaccinations in Boyd, Bullitt, Carter, Greenup, Hardin, and Jefferson counties. These counties have had at least 5 recent cases of hepatitis A. WKYT reports several Kentucky counties have been heavily impacted by the virus. Possible hepatitis A symptoms include jaundice, nausea, loss of appetite, and fever. The Kentucky Department for Public Health requires all kindergarten through 12th grade students receive the vaccine in order to attend school, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends all children receive the vaccine.
Two suspects allegedly involved in a police chase and the attempted shooting of an Ashland police officer were arraigned in court last week. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Frank Joliffe Jr. and Danny Haley, both of Ashland, were arraigned on charges including first-degree wanton endangerment and first-degree fleeing or evading police. Both pled not guilty and are scheduled back in court May 11th. Neither has been formally charged with attempting to shoot the officer. Police say they are still investigating that particular matter. Joliffe and Halley are lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
Posting what he promised to be one of many updates in the lawsuit against Senate Bill 151 on Twitter, Attorney General Andy Beshear announced a hearing date in the case. Beshear filed a lawsuit against the controversial sewage-turned-pension bill, saying the process in which the bill was passed violated the inviolable contract between the state and teachers. Besides its claim of violating the inviolable contract, the lawsuit says the process used to pass the bill lacked a required actuarial analysis and violated parts of the Kentucky Constitution.
That law showed the worst of government. It turned an 11-page sewage bill into a 291-page pension bill. Then they rammed it through in a single day without hearing one comment from the public, without letting legislators read it, and without even having an analysis on whether it would work.
The first hearing will be held Thursday at 10 a.m. in Franklin Circuit Court. Beshear hopes for an injunction while the case is being heard.
Kentucky's new pension bill might be held up by a lawsuit filed by that attorney general last week, but universities across the state are preparing for a huge increase for contributions. Morehead State University will be responsible for an additional $3.3 million this year to cover its part of MSU employee pensions. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan says that cost is difficult to cover.
The pension increase of about 68 or 70% starting July 1 is what we're having the most problems swallowing, because you can't shed those costs unless you get rid of the people. The other cuts, you know, you can pull down expenses, but the KERS pension cost, you can't get rid of it if you still have the people, and that's the hard part.
Morgan says the KTRS rates will increase to over 30% over the next 2 years.
The Kentucky House and Senate overrode the governor's vetoes of the state's two-year, $22 billion budget and accompanying revenue measure on Friday. But some lawmakers are still upset about how those bills were passed in the first place. The veto of the budget bill, known as House Bill 200, was overridden in the Senate 25-12 and the House 66-28. The budget includes a 6.25% baseline cut for most state agencies. Grayson Democrat Robin Webb said on the Senate floor, the bills weren't fooling anyone.
The evidence is clear. These teachers and educators know how to research. They know how to read. They know how to do numbers and put everything together. So don't even insult their intelligence. It's dismantling public education from higher education to kindergarten. That's what this is about.
Webb also voted against the veto override of House Bill 366, which was overridden in the Senate 20-18 and in the House 57-40.
Kentucky lawmakers have agreed to fund a high-speed internet project that has been plagued by delays and cost overruns. The project, dubbed Kentucky Wired, is supposed to build a network of more than 3,000 miles of fiber optic cables to bring broadband capability to all of Kentucky's 120 counties. It was supposed to be finished by now, but state officials think they won't be able to turn the network on until at least 2020. The delays have cost the state $88 million in unexpected expenses. Lawmakers agreed Saturday to let the state borrow up to $110 million to pay that debt. And they agreed to continue to fund the project at about $60 million over the next 2 years. Governor Matt Bevin's administration had warned not funding the project would kill it and cost taxpayers up to $500 million.
Governor Matt Bevin, Secretary of the Education and Workforce Development Cabinet, has resigned to accept an appointment to the State Board of Education. Hal Heiner announced his resignation in a news release today. The Louisville businessman was one of Bevin's GOP primary opponents in 2015. He has worked in the Bevin administration since December of 2015. Heiner was one of seven new appointments Bevin made to the State Board of Education on Monday. They include Amanda Stamper, Bevin's former communications director, who was now the public relations director for Anthem Incorporated. Heiner called his time at the cabinet the highlight of his career. He said he plans to use his new role to help improve test scores and other academic achievement indicators.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans on just about anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. Bypass Pawn on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead can be reached at 606-780-7296. Facebook and online at bypasspawn.com.
Tensions rose during a fiscal court meeting in Boyd County last week. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
An argument between county clerk Democratic candidates Kevin Johnston and incumbent Debbie Jones began during a public comment period. According to the Daily Independent, Johnston questioned whether or not Jones provided a statement detailing the finances of the clerk's office last month when she provided a check for $210,000 and excess fees to the county government. Johnston referred to a Kentucky statute requiring county clerks with less than 75,000 residents to provide a financial statement detailing all sources of income and expenses in the office for the previous calendar year. Jones referred to minutes from a previous meeting claiming all the information Johnston was seeking is available to the public at all times. For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Tax day is Tuesday, and a new report has shown exactly where the money from those taxes is being spent. The National Priorities Project tallied the numbers regarding the 2017 federal spending. The report says 29 cents of every dollar went to Medicaid and Medicare programs, 23 cents for the military, and 11 cents to private contractors. Lindsay Kosgarian is the program director for NPP. She says people are paying five times more in taxes than corporations.
Individuals are really the ones funding the federal government. And then when you look and see that so much of the money that we're paying taxes for goes to private contractors, it's a bit disturbing to see to what extent our tax dollars and our tax system are really holding up private corporations.
The report also shows 14 cents went to pay interest on the federal debt, 7 cents to unemployment and labor, 6 cents to veterans, and 4 cents to education, food, and agriculture.
Roads and non-public school transportation were the topic of discussion during a Bracken County fiscal court meeting. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
With weather pushing back some projects, Judge Executive Earl Bush says there is plenty of work that needs to be done. According to the Ledger Independent, the court has talked to piling contractors regarding slips, rail and timbers, and they are looking into bid options for salts. Bush says he will also be meeting with Germantown City Council regarding roads listed as city streets. Bracken County Attorney Beth Moore brought up non-public school transportation during the meeting. She asked the court for a resolution. Moore says the county provided funds for the transportation. Moore says she needs Bush to sign an executive order for a contract with Bracken County and Augusta Independent School Districts. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
A Kentucky building will be the Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame and Museum when it opens in October after a name change. The Owensboro Messenger-Inquirer reports the International Bluegrass Music Center has been talked about for years, but Museum Executive Director Chris Jocelyn says people didn't understand what a Bluegrass Center was. Jocelyn says he had to explain that it was a Hall of Fame and Museum, so they decided to call it that. Jocelyn says the museum reached an agreement with Nashville, Tennessee-based International Bluegrass Music Association to house the Hall of Fame for the next 20 years with an option to renew. Jocelyn says the name change will bring the museum in line with the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Nashville and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
The Kentucky Department of Agriculture is offering a $5,000 grand prize package in its wedding contest. Agricultural Commissioner Ryan Quarles said the Kentucky Proud Wedding Contest is aimed at giving Kentucky proud businesses a chance at some of the U.S. wedding industry. The agency launched a website in February for businesses that offer picturesque farm venues for wedding and reception, foods and beverages, catering, flowers, gifts, and other goods and services. To enter the contest, entrants have to post a qualifying photo or video with the hashtag #KentuckyProudWeddings and tag a Kentucky Proud vendor or member through any social media outlet by 11:59 on June 30th. Monthly prizes will also be awarded.
Taking a look at this week's weather forecast, tonight snow showers will continue until later tonight, a low of 31 degrees. Tomorrow morning it'll be sunny except for a few clouds and a high of 56. Tomorrow night there'll be some clear skies until later in the night, a low of 41. Wednesday morning it'll be cloudy with a 20% chance of rain and a high of 72 degrees. Wednesday night it'll be cloudy with some light wind gusts and a low of 42. Thursday morning there'll be more clouds and some light winds and a high of 49. Thursday night, clouds continue into the afternoon and a partial clearing later and a low of 35 degrees. Current temperatures in the listening area are 34 degrees in Flemingsburg, 33 degrees in Lexington, 38 degrees in Ashland, 32 degrees in Winchester, 37 degrees in Inez, and 35 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and Pathways in Morehead is hosting events all week. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has that story.
All of a sudden, because there is this national conversation, we are getting a lot more people and groups who are saying, yes, I would love to be involved in that. How can I help?
With the rise of recent movements battling sexual assault, the discussion surrounding survivors and those accused of harassment has never been on the forefront quite like it is now. And with April being Sexual Assault Awareness Month, Pathways in Morehead has planned a series of events in front of the Allie Young Building here on Morehead State's campus to open the discussion and provide information to the local community. Josh Akers is the Victim Services Educator at Pathways in Morehead.
The current statistics for college-age women, it's 1 in 4. That's just the numbers that are reported. It's thought that as many as half of college-age women especially experience sexual assault, but half of them that experience it don't report because of all kinds of different fears. They're afraid of what people might say. They're afraid of what their attacker might do. They're afraid that people may not believe them.
Pathways worked alongside the Clothesline Project to get the message across for the first event.
The Clothesline Project is a project that honors women survivors as well as victims of intimate violence. It is for any woman who has experienced such violence at any time in their life.
The next event, titled These Hands Don't Hurt, aims to address prevention methods.
Participants will be able to place a cutout piece of paper in the shape of their hand and take a pledge to not use their hands to commit sexual assault or sexual violence and to safely intervene if they see such violence being committed.
Why I Wear Teal will be the third event of the week, allowing participants to express their reasons of supporting the cause by donning the official color of sexual assault awareness.
We're going to be distributing ribbons, and we'll have like a photo booth to shed light on how difficult it is not only to talk about these taboo kinds of hidden subjects, but also to call on society in general to end the silence on these things. And so we're going to invite folks to come in, and they'll have a chance to take a picture and say why they're wearing teal. Maybe they're wearing it for a survivor that they know, or because they're a survivor themselves.
The week of events will wrap up Thursday night after the Light Up the Night event. Starting at 6:30 p.m. in front of the Laughlin Health Building, the event is a culmination of everything Pathways has done throughout the week.
It is going to be a night where we are bringing together the community to raise awareness about sexual assault and inform people about what they can do to help prevent it. It's designed to empower and support survivors. It's to help those in pain and assert that it's wrong for people to live in fear and for their safety.
Akers is glad to see the support they've received so far, but hopes to see the community turn out and show their support for survivors of sexual assault.
We've got the support of several community businesses, and I know several student groups are already planning on coming, and several members of the community as well. But the more folks that we can get out, the more light we can shed on this subject and begin to make a difference here in our community.
For more information for the Light Up the Night event, you can find it on Facebook by searching Light Up the Night, or by calling 606-329-8588. For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 447 and 35 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're so glad you've joined us on this snowy Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
The Reds try again. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will give it another try tonight when they visit Milwaukee to start a three-game series with the Brewers. The Reds are a league-worst 2-13 on the year and have lost eight straight games, but manager Brian Price says it's just growing pains for his young team.
We're integrating a lot of young people into this group with the amount of guys that are sitting on our DL, with our desire to go with a younger group of players as opposed to an older group of players, and they're going to go through these things. This is just, it's the unfortunate part of the business, and we've asked a lot of young guys to come up and pitch out of the rotation, pitch out of the bullpen, play off the bench.
First pitch this evening is at 7:40. Brent Suter pitches for the Brewers, while Luis Castillo goes for the Reds. The Morehead State baseball team is still flying high after its sweep of SIU Edwardsville over the weekend. Jordan Freese hit a ninth-inning grand slam to break a 6-6 tie to eventually lift the Eagles to an 11-6 win on Sunday. Head coach Mike McGuire was pleased with the win.
I thought it was a great team win because it was, obviously the biggest hit of the day came from a guy that's not in there regularly, and, we're closing it out at the end of the ball game with guys that haven't thrown as much as some of the other guys. So, and we just got down and didn't quit, and that's what I'm proud of.
Now, at 23-14 on the year, MSU is scheduled to host West Virginia Tech on Wednesday at 5 p.m. The University of Kentucky football team held their annual Blue-White Spring game on Friday. The Blue squad topped the White squad 45-32 at Kroger Field. Sophomore running back A.J. Rose finished the game with 148 yards. Head coach Mark Stoops was pleased with his team's performance.
Good to get out of there tonight. Very healthy. It seems like we didn't have anything tonight. That's a really good sign. We had a pretty good and physical spring and came out of there relatively healthy. That's always a good thing.
UK begins their 2018 season on September the 1st against Central Michigan. The Louisville Cardinals also held their annual Red-White Spring game on Friday. Redshirt sophomore quarterback Jawan Pass tossed for 342 yards at Cardinal Stadium, leading the red team past the white team 42-13. Head coach Bobby Petrino says he needs his players to work out a few details before the fall rolls around.
A lot to do out there to know what the offense is, know what the defense is doing, make sure you get the 40-second clock and get everything called and ran. So that's invaluable experience.
The Cardinals begin their regular season against defending champions Alabama on September the 1st as well. In the NFL, the Denver Broncos plan to release running back C.J. Anderson to clear some cap space. Minnesota Vikings linebacker Eric Kendricks signed a contract extension on Monday. The Kendricks deal is a 5-year extension worth $50 million with $25 million guaranteed, according to ESPN. And Patriots linebacker James Harrison, who turns 40 on May the 4th, has decided to retire from the NFL after 15 seasons. Greenup County has a new boys basketball coach. Robert Amos has agreed to leave Eminence Independent after one season to take over the Musketeers program. Amos says he's excited about the opportunity.
I'm ecstatic about taking the head coaching job at Greenup County. They have a lot of tradition, and I've been very familiar with their program. You know, when I was a GA at Marshall, I was in that area a lot, and I'm originally from Hazard, Kentucky. So, and then I think they have a lot of resources there and a lot of talent year in, year out. One of the bigger schools in the area, you know, with the new industry coming into the area with the factory and all that, I think it'll be an influx of, you know, more students and hopefully more talent.
Brady Industries' new $1.3 billion aluminum plant is expected to bring around 550 jobs to the area. Amos replaces Harold Tackett, who retired after six seasons at Greenup County. From college basketball, Duke has lost its entire starting group after freshman big man Wendell Carter Jr. announced today he will declare for the NBA draft and forego his final 3 years of college eligibility. Carter joins fellow freshman Marvin Bagley III, Gary Trent Jr., and Trayvon Duval in declaring with the intent to sign an agent. The Blue Devils also lost senior Grayson Allen. Georgetown has landed arguably the best transfer on the market in NC State's Omar Yurtseven. The 7-foot native of Turkey decided to leave NC State after a sophomore season in which he averaged 13.5 points and 7 rebounds per game. And Michigan big man Mo Wagner will forego his final season in college, signing with an agent and entering the NBA draft. First-round action of the NBA playoffs continues tonight with two games. In the first game, the Philadelphia 76ers will look to extend their 17-game winning streak and knock off the Miami Heat in Game 2 of their series. Philly blew out Miami 130-103 in Game 1 of the series, but Sixers guard J.J. Redick says his young teammates can't get too confident over the win.
We protected our home court. Doc Rivers used to always say something along the lines of, a playoff series really doesn't start till someone gets a road win. So all we've done is protect home court for one game.
In the nightcap, the Warriors will look to go up 2-0 on the San Antonio Spurs, but Steve Kerr is reminding his young team as well that the series is far from over.
Human nature means that they're going to play harder than we are, so I've already warned our guys about that. Can we do it again? Can we do it again? Because this is it's a process. You got to get better during the playoffs. You got to continue to improve. Got to be ready for everything that's coming your way. There's going to be all kinds of adjustments that they make. They're coming after us, and we know that.
Miami and Philly will tip off at 8 with the Spurs and Warriors going at 10:30. Finally, in sports, new data from NASCAR shows that Louisville is one of their top markets. Will Clark has more on that.
Kentucky Speedway General Manager Mark Simmendinger says the Louisville market is very much on NASCAR's radar all year long.
Since I've been getting the TV reports, Louisville's a consistent top 15 market for NASCAR out of the 56 measured markets. And it ranks anywhere from 150 on the low side to 200% of the national average, depending on the race.
Simmendinger says NBC, which airs the Monster Cup Series race at the Sparta track, and Fox, which carries both the truck and Xfinity Series races, have offered additional promotional help based on those viewership numbers. I'm Will Clark.
One other note from NASCAR, Kyle Busch won today's race at Bristol that was postponed from yesterday due to weather. At sports for WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball welcomes West Virginia Tech at 5 p.m. on Wednesday and Austin Peay this weekend. Softball hosts Southeast Missouri on Saturday and UT Martin on Sunday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose as fears of an escalating conflict in Syria eased for the moment, while some of the biggest U.S. companies reported strong quarterly results. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 212.90 at 24,573.04. The S&P 500 was up 21.54 at 2677.84, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 49.63 at 7156.29. In earnings news, Bank of America reported better-than-expected quarterly results. The bank's earnings were helped by loan growth and lower corporate taxes, and the shares rose today by 0.4%. Also, J.B. Hunt Transport rose more than 6% on the back of a stronger-than-expected quarterly revenue figure, which was led by a 14% jump in intermodal sales, which is its largest segment. And the stock, as mentioned, very strong, among your very best performers in the S&P today. Merck shares popped 2.6% after the company said its cancer treatment drug Keytruda reduced the risk of death in a trial by 51% when combined with chemotherapies versus chemo alone. And in economic news, U.S. retail sales rose 0.6% in March, boosted by a 2% jump in auto sales. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.5%. finishing at $66.37 a barrel. Gold was up 50 cents at $1,348.40 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.4%. And in Asia, stocks were weak as well. In Shanghai, the Shanghai Composite was down 1.5%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.6%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Merck, while your worst performers were GE and Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were J.B. Hunt Transport and CVS Health, and the worst performers were Bristol-Myers Squibb and National Oilwell Varco. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 80 cents at 70.34, CSX up 82 cents at 56.41, AEP up 95 cents at 68.29, AK Steel up 5 cents at 4.52, Marathon Petroleum up $2.92 at 77.51, and Kroger was up 44 cents to finish at 24.17. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Taking another look at this week's weather forecast, tonight there'll be some snow showers continuing until later in the night and a low of 31 degrees. Tomorrow morning it'll be sunny except for a few clouds and a high near 56. Tomorrow night, some clear skies until later in the night and a low of 41. Wednesday morning it'll be cloudy with a 20% chance of rain, highs around 72. Wednesday night will be cloudy with light wind gusts and a low of 42 degrees. Thursday morning, some more clouds and light winds and a high of 49. Thursday night, clouds continue into the afternoon, partial clearing later, a low of 35. And Friday, it'll be clear and sunny throughout the day with some variable winds, high of 58 and a low of 36 degrees. Current temperatures are 34 degrees in Flemingsburg, 33 degrees in Lexington, 38 degrees in Ashland, 32 degrees in Winchester, 37 degrees in Inez, and 35 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Rowan County High School Theater presents The Music Man in the high school's Performing Arts Center. Showtimes are 7 p.m. on April 26th, 27th, and 28th, and 2 p.m. on Sunday, April 29th. Tickets are $7 for adults and $5 for students.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of Dr. Timothy Durbin, presents Celebration, their spring concert at 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 22nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Tickets are $15 for adults, free to MSU students and children ages 17 and under.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Sean Delaney, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Tilden Johnston, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bun Luke and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.